Smurf along with me. Simple as can be.
Live from the 1480 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo, our great movie reviewer and columnist.
Yeah, thank you. And happy birthday to you.
AZ Weekly Entertainment.
Examiner.com and BreakRadioShow.com.
Wow, that's very cool. So, anyway, we got some Smurf.
Smurf.
What's a Smurf? Oh, that's a religious thing, Smurf.
It might be, or a drug.
No, what is that, Eric? Smurf and essence or whatever?
I don't know. I'm not very religious.
I've never heard anything like that.
I don't know anything about that stuff.
Yeah, like this. Well, there's something in the movie Ten Commandments.
I am in awe of how you got all that makeup all over you. I mean, that's going to take forever to scrub that off. It looks permanent.
It helps you out, actually.
How do they see me on Facebook?
They go to BreakRadioShow.com, click on the big F in the upper right-hand corner, and you can see what Dave is dressed up as today.
A Smurf.
He's got blue makeup on all over his body. Now, is it like really all over your body?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. That is commitment.
Yeah, I had three coats of paint.
That is, yes. At least.
What was the paint I used? What did I use, Greg? Like powder?
I wasn't there.
No, he wasn't there. It was my hairdresser.
Scary.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you could do that. You could dress up as a Smurf.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Smurf movie.
Well, there's two of them.
Are they cute?
Yeah.
Are you going to review it today?
Yeah, I'm going to review it today.
We'll find out.
I hated the first Smurfs movie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so we'll see if I like the Smurfs, too.
Well, anybody over the age of, 12 should probably hate it.
Yeah. Eric, have you seen it?
Although MPH is in it, and I love Neil Patrick Harris. He's one of my favorites. But
he was that little doctor at 12.
He was.
And he's on How I Met Your Mother now.
Yeah, great show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Harold and Kumar, where he plays Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, that was a weird role he played, though.
It was fantastic, all three of them.
Just like Michael Cera in the end.
Yeah. Exactly how it was, where he plays himself, but not really how he is.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Even
if he was that way, it would
so
be
we're
cool.
We're celebrating the Smurfs, too, today. You know, we're going to play some trivia here. We've got all Smurfs-related songs. You'll catch on here shortly. And we'll
like
also
the Wizard of Smurfs?
Smurf. Say it right. Yeah.
With an F. I don't know what the Smurf thing is. It does sound like a
what
drug.
What is it? Smurf?
Smurf.
Smurf.
With an F.
Smurf.
Yeah, Smurf.
Yeah, with an F. There you go. Like F, like in the upper right-hand corner of BreakRadioShow.com.
Yeah, to get to Facebook. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Smurf.
And we'll also be talking about two guns here later on in the show.
Well, that's my arms.
Yeah. Okay. Not really. And at 11:10, we will be talking. We have a special guest calling in, Rick Hoffman. He will tell us a little more about his movie that he filmed out here called Locker 13. They're trying to get distribution, so we'll tell you a little more about that in a few minutes. But I wanted to start us off with a trivia question about the Smurfs, okay? Now, Eric, I want you in on this as well.
I won't have a clue.
Okay.
That's the answer.
All right. Before Hank Azaria ultimately snagged the role, which of the following actors was also considered to play Gargamel in The Smurfs? Was it A, John Lithgow, B, J.K. Simmons, C, Channing Tatum?
Channing Tatum.
J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
J.K. Simmons.
Everyone's wrong. It is John Lithgow.
It was Lithgow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wallace Shawn, you might know he's the voice of Rex from Toy Story, was also initially considered for the role, but ultimately, like I said, it went to Hank Azaria.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hank's pretty good with voices.
He is. Simpsons, and he's in Lovelace, which comes out next week. Mm-hmm. So lots of characters.
Wow. Okay. And then you said like at 11:10, Rick Hoffman, should we do a second look real quick?
Sure. I know. Yeah. Let's do a second look.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to start with Pacific Rim.
Okay. You saw Pacific Rim.
I saw Pacific Rim.
I hated it.
Yes. You just gave it a thumbs down. Yeah. It was a big thumbs down.
Gigantic thumbs down. Like as gigantic as the monsters in the movie.
Yeah. Now, for my expert opinion is I give it a thumbs up. Not a big thumbs up. But there's a difference between not being a good movie, but not being a bad movie either. I don't think it was a bad movie. I don't think it was a good movie. But it wasn't a bad movie. And there's a difference. And I think, Greg, you're not sure what the difference is? Like, this is really bad, the cheesy, horrible acting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bad movie. But it wasn't a great move. A great movie either.
It was tolerable.
It was tolerable. Yeah, thank you. Tolerable. It had good action. I thought the action. Eric, did you see this movie, Pacific Rim?
I have not.
Okay, I thought it was good action.
Don't.
The last movie I saw was This Is the End, and that kind of ruined movies.
Yes,
for me.
And what did I give it?
That was my favorite movie this summer so far.
No way. You haven't seen many movies.
Well, yeah, but still, I think no matter what I see,
but statistical
it will still be.
sampling, you know, statistical sampling here. But it was good. It was good action. It was decent acting, I thought, and it was interesting characters, especially the two smart guys, the scientist guys. They were funny.
They were funny.
Charlie Day.
Yeah, Charlie Day. You thought
he's
Charlie
hilarious.
Day was. Funny.
I didn't see the movie, but he's always hilarious.
Was that the little guy that with the brain thing?
Yeah.
I talk like this. Yeah, he was funny. I thought he was really funny.
That's exactly how he talks.
But I
love great.
That. But Horrible Bosses is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, so you might like this movie because I thought he was funny. Not much suspense. I don't think there was a lot of suspense, but it was a good flow. In other words, see, I'll judge a movie by, is it bad acting? Is it like, you could tell the special effects are just ridiculous. But this didn't have this. I thought it was pretty good special effects. It was good flow. It was very predictable, I thought. But it was tolerable, like Eric said. Thank you for that. I give it a mild thumbs up. So, see, I wouldn't have done this unless you gave it such a big thumbs down. You said gigantic.
Yeah. Well, it's not the most gigantic of the year, and I know you saw something else, so I'm scared of what else you might have saw. But you know,
I saved the best for last.
I'm scared, but no, I did not care for Pacific Rim at all. I will agree with you that the special effects were amazing.
Yeah.
But how could you even see them? I mean, it was dark all the time. Rain falling down. I mean, it was in the middle of the night.
No, I thought it was like Batman was really dark.
It's like when you go
movies.
See a horror movie and you can't see what's going on because it's shielded by darkness.
I hate movies that are dark. I hate that.
But this was light enough.
What's the point?
Something in broad daylight and then they'll put it in post-production and bring it down so dark.
That's what's great about, you know, Jurassic Park. A lot of those scenes are in greatly lit areas, like the kitchen scene at the end with the velociraptors, because you can see everything and you can appreciate the special effects.
Well, I don't think this was that dark. I thought I could see it very clearly. I won't spoil for anyone that wants to take my opinion, but I thought it was clear enough to see the action, to see both these interesting, what would we call them?
They're aliens and robots.
Yeah. I thought it was clear enough to see that. I'd say a mild thumbs up, and I didn't see anything really cheesy. It just wasn't a great movie.
Well, I would say that it's not. I didn't find it tolerable at all. You know, one, because Charlie Day was absolutely grating. But
he was funny. Oh. No, really great. You would like
it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was so funny.
He's hilarious.
He'll never be on the show. but
we got him on next week.
Yeah, great.
Eric, have you heard of Charlie Day?
No.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, I like
he's like with the beard, the small guy with the interesting voice.
Looks like he's homeless. And
if I've watched that show, I'm sure I've seen him.
Yeah, it's
hilarious.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Well, and then, but the machinery was just like I was being pounded over the head repeatedly by all
by these machines.
Yes,
are these the Transformers cousins or something?
Basically,
it kind of looks like them.
Yeah, Transformers with actual people in them.
Oh, okay.
The only good thing is
there's people in these machines.
Yeah,
Oh, little aliens. Guys?
No, regular people. The pilots, basically.
Oh, wait, were these machines
like
bad guys or good guys?
No, the machines were the good guys. The bad guys were the aliens.
Oh, okay. See, I thought these were... Oh, okay.
But the good thing is they don't talk. You know, that's my problem with Transformers, is that the Autobots talk and everything. It's
I love the talking part of the machines.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They have these deep voices.
Wow. Well, if anyone has a comment, what number can they call if they've seen Pacific Rim? Because I'm curious, is Dave right or am I right?
Yeah, I think that's a great... Yeah, let's get people calling in, yes or no. Thumbs up, thumbs down, 602-252-1480, 602-252-1480. Don't be shy. Did you like Pacific Rim or not? And we'll find out.
Yeah. Now, as we wait here for our special guest, Rick Hoffman, did you want to share what other movie you have a second look for?
Yes, the other one I'm more passionate about.
Oh, no.
Yes,
and I bet I'm passionate about it.
It's Fruitvale.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you thought it was a different one.
I'm grateful that it isn't The Conjuring.
No, it wasn't.
Conjuring? Do you think he would see
that? Yeah, I would never see
that.
I'd have to send someone to see
here
that.
Now.
Yeah, I'd have to have the lights on in the theater to see that one. Eric, have you seen The Conjuring?
No, it looks like a Twilight Saga type thing.
Oh, is it a Twilight type?
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. The one with about
scary.
The
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, the supposedly true story.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any.
Which means one percent of it's true, which is probably one line that they said.
It would only because of Vera.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Well, to recap, it was a thumbs down for
Fruitvale.
Thumbs down for Fruitvale, and I did this week at other screenings. I was criticized by a lot of just normal everyday people. They were not happy with my rating. So what?
Here's how I saw it. I thought it was. It was well done. I don't know how close to the truth it was, but the video doesn't lie. I mean, when they open, like you said, with the true scene of what happened to this guy, what was his name? Oscar. I forgot his last name, but name was Oscar.
Yeah,
but the bottom line is this. It was clearly the guy. There was no ruckus going on. You could see the guy, a couple people with their hands up. They're sitting down. No one's disturbing the three police officers. And then two of them really sort of get a little bit rough with Oscar.
Oscar Grant,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Turn him over. He's on his stomach. It looks like he's being handcuffed, and the guy shoots him. Now, I think if you look through this film, not as a technical filmmaker or a reviewer, but you look it through the eyes of a child, like his little girl, or his girlfriend, or his mom, or the friends, their relatives, the customer at the grocery store that was obviously there, too, in the train, I think you see a different perspective of this movie. This is shocking to me that this can happen, and he only gets 11 months. Now, I didn't investigate the legal aspects, but perhaps because he was hoping it would be the taser gun, and he thought it was that, maybe there's some legal wrangling that went on, that it was manslaughter versus second-degree murder. And that's possible, because knowing the legal system, how that could happen. But if you look through the different lenses, even in the eyes of the police, I mean, you know, what can be learned from this? That's what makes this a good movie, because of the social implications, as well as the tragedy that happened to this family. And the guy was trying to turn around. It looked like, and if that was true, yes. And I suspect it was, you know, here's a young guy that was trying to turn his life around, and he had a lot of caring for his little girl. And you know, he had made some bad decisions, evidently, but he wasn't a bad guy.
You weren't a little bit bored, though, waiting for the actual event to happen?
No.
No?
No, because that's what the beauty of this movie was. It's the character development to learn about this guy and the tragedy that occurred. The ending, everyone knew. The problem is, did they know this guy? And this guy was trying to turn his life around. In fact, the mom suggested go on the train to be safe. They made a responsible decision that turned out bad. And if they were bad people, and they weren't, it didn't look like on the train. Another gang member started that fight. But there was nothing happening there. I mean, there wasn't people jumping on the police at all.
So you think that that it was a racially charged incident?
Well, I'd have to look deeper.
Or was it an accident?
Well, here's my thought. Now, I've never been a police officer. Maybe Eric can chime in. I think if you're a police officer, you have higher level standards. And if you think you're going to shoot someone with the taser and you actually put the wrong gun in your hand and you shoot them and kill someone, I think that's a problem. I think the young police officer, made a horrible error, obviously. The other police officers seemed a little bit racially motivated.
Right, the other police officer.
He wasn't the one that shot
him. Right.
But he could have incited his young friend, though. The young police officer, that's the problem. You don't start treating people like that.
I will agree with that. And you know, see, my problem with it is not that this, I mean, the police officer, yes, he deserved probably a much greater punishment than he actually got. But, you know, the filmmaker inciting, you know, this protest and wanting to get everyone riled up, thinking that this is a big racially charged incident, and that there are other incidents in the news recently that, you know, are they racially charged, or, you know, is it?
But it
similar?
Has happened, and if you ask, you know, certain groups, have they been persecuted? Have they been treated unfairly? There's no question they have, Eric.
Well, my uncle was a cop, so I know all about this.
Oh, good. There we go.
I'm kidding.
Oh. But no, really, don't you think, Eric, they should be set, have a higher standard?
Absolutely.
If you have a gun
I think that's what they're trained to do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I think it was the older police officer that incited it to set the tone that something bad could happen because he wasn't very nice at all.
Was now, this guy a rookie?
The guy that actually shot guy, him was yeah. looked pretty young in the movie. And,
that
and
could be the cause.
Yeah.
Inexperience.
Yeah, but that's still no excuse.
Fear.
Yeah. Yeah, but still at a higher standard. You know, you have a weapon, you better know how to use it and when to use it and know the difference between a taser gun and a real gun.
So basically the guy was shot in the back.
Yeah, and he died.
Isn't that the code of the West? You don't shoot somebody in the back?
Yeah, it does. And there was nothing really going on. That it didn't look like that to me. And you could YouTube this and you could see nothing was happening. They were not rowdy. They said, hey, we're not doing anything.
Yeah, I did watch that. I watched.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there was like multiple cameras taking it. So
yeah.
There was a video up there.
So what do you think of when you saw that video?
It was definitely unnecessary.
Yeah.
The guy didn't do a thing to deserve that.
That's what I'm saying, and you know, there's been enough incidences over time, you know, in the United States as other parts of the world too, that you begin to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, why does this keep happening, right? I mean, Eric, wouldn't you agree? I mean, there's something going on sometimes.
Well, yeah, but you know, all in all, this is a much safer place to be than a lot of the other parts of the world.
Well, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. What say you? Mr. Joseph.
Well, I stand by my opinion that it's a
I didn't
a
sway
down.
You off a thumbs down.
No,
yet?
You didn't sway me Darn. Off. Of that. You know, you can't do that. No, but I will say that I respect your opinion on this one.
Yeah.
I respect your opinion on Pacific Rim as well, but I'm not looking you in the eye when I say that. I have to say that. But for Fruitvale Station, I know there are a lot of people who appreciate that film. And but for me, it was a thumbs down. But like I said, for Pacific Rim, I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah, but the social significance of this film could make it a thumbs up for learning, for awareness, so this never happens again if it was racially motivated. And secondarily, that, hey, if you own a gun, make sure you're responsible for it. That is what makes this a thumbs up, the learning part of it. Could you agree with that?
I will agree with that.
Yes, I did it.
Yeah, yes.
You turned him.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's like a Twilight thing. You turn someone, that, you know, with the, how does that work?
Vampire.
Yeah, that's fun.
I'm not going to argue with
you. I don't think you want to do that, but. No.
But yeah. I'm not going to argue with someone wearing completely blue makeup right now. But we'll have to try to get Rick Hoffman on another day. Something might have fell through, unfortunately. But
he probably heard my review.
Yeah, no, he probably
heard your review.
Like the Fruitvale one, but maybe not the Pacific Rim.
No, yeah. That little day guy was funny. What's his name again?
What do you call him?
Little Day?
Oh, yeah, Charlie Day.
Careful
he's
there.
So, he's hilarious.
He really is. I thought
no,
he made the
one
film.
Of my, yeah. No, we'll,
it was
I
funny.
Look forward to seeing him a lot more, especially in Horrible Bosses 2 when that
right,
comes
that's,
out.
That'll be made.
He reminded me of Joe Pesci in that with Mel Gibson and, you know, the little chatty guy.
Oh, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sort of.
I mean, funny, right?
They're like kind of normal looking, you know. Joel Pesci is great. He kind of looks like a potato, though. You know, just play potato.
Let's ask Eric, who's the best gangster ever? I mean, Pesci has to be up.
Oh, yeah, in Casino.
Yeah, he's
that
up there,
amazing.
And he can also be, you know, play funny roles, too.
Yeah.
I like Ray Liotta.
He was
Ray
very
Liotta
good, very good.
And what was the name of that movie?
Casino.
Goodfellas.
Yeah, oh,
that
phenomenal.
That was one of the great gangster movies of all time.
And he is also in Casino, which was a tremendous movie. I thought that was... Did you see Casino?
Yeah, a while ago.
Who, Liotta or Pesci?
Pesci was in it.
Yeah,
he really good. I mean, tough guy. And little guy, but tough. Yeah. I wouldn't want to meet him in the anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
except at the Oscars.
He used to be a hairdresser.
Really? That's why I don't
so
want to meet him. I knew there was a reason. All right, he put my blue paint on.
That's what I thought.
Wow.
Let's see what you're telling
no,
me
No, just kidding.
Yeah,
he's a great actor, and Liotta
Phenomenal.
Too. Liotta very underrated because a lot of people forget to mention him, and that was great, Eric, how you did because Goodfellas really is one of the best gangster movies of all time.
Yes, well, here's speaking of your blue paint. Let's do another. Before we take a break, let's do our second trivia of the day, Smurfs 2 trivia. Okay, before Jaima Mays. You know who Jaima Mays is, right?
No.
Yes.
Okay,
the redhead.
The redhead. She's a redhead. She's
Mall Cop. Paul Bart, the main chick.
Yeah, she's on Glee. She's
Who else?
She's in a lot.
Is she the one who shaved her head?
No.
I'll bring up a picture while you.
Okay,
we'll check
her out.
Before Jaima Mays ultimately snagged the role,
please.
Before Jaima Mays ultimately snagged the role, which of the following actresses was also considered to play Grace opposite Neil Patrick Harris in The Smurfs? Okay, was it A. Allison Hannigan, B. Judy Greer? Or C, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Judy Greer, because that's the only name I recognize. And I like Judy Greer. She was in Descendants. Was she in Descendants?
Judy Greer is in Descendants.
I liked her. Yeah.
And she was in Jawbreaker. Allison Hannigan, of course, from How I Met Your Mother. And American Pie. And Bryce Dallas Howard, you don't know. Ron Howard's daughter?
Yeah, she's a cutie.
From Twilight, the last not the last one, but the third one.
Yeah, she took over Victoria. The role of Victoria.
Yeah, the redhead.
Oh, yeah. She's nice. I'll pick her.
They would all be great fun.
The answer is based on looks, definitely.
So who, instead of Jemma Mays, who was initially considered for the role of her character? Was it Allison Hannigan, Judy Greer, or Bryce Dallas Howard?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay, Greg?
It's either her or Judy Greer, because I think I've read this before.
I picked Judy Greer originally.
I'm going to say Judy. I'll go
different. You copied me, except I changed.
Eric?
What was the first one?
Allison Hannigan.
I'm going with that.
I'm going to Judy
Greer. Eric's winning so far. Oh, it's Allison Hannigan, which that would have been awesome.
I figured out how to win this game. I picked the opposite of what you did.
Yeah, that's what I tried.
You're winning 2-0.
We'll
nicely
have
done.
Go first.
That would have been awesome.
What is he winning,
Johnny Clark? What does Eric win?
Allison
nothing
Hannigan.
Yet, because there's still three.
Oh,
more
we still
questions.
Got three, so we have a comeback opportunity.
So, well, there's more than three questions, but we'll
so
see.
So, should
if
we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break, and of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment every Saturday from 11 to 12 here on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll be right back.
Was the night softer than satin was light from the stars. She wore blue velvet, bluer than velvet were her eyes.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes.
And welcome back again. You are listening to The Dave Isaac Show, singing an imitation of Elvis Presley, Blue Suede Shoes. And it's 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm here alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo, and Sebastian Oren walked in to do some entertainment action with us as well. Of course, stay tuned from 12 to 1 with Real Hockey Talk coming up. But he's going to join in and see if he agrees with Joseph's movies review.
Probably not. Well, okay. Let's do another trivia here. For, of course, we're as you could tell from our music, we're doing blue songs.
Yes, yes.
So we're doing some Smurfs 2 trivia. Which of the following statements is true of Katy Perry, who voices Smurfette? Okay, you know who Katy Perry is.
I don't know who Smurfette is.
It's the female Smurf.
Oh, wow.
Pretty easy.
Is right. There only one of them?
There's two this time around.
Only two? But and how many guy Smurfs?
A lot of them.
Oh.
I don't know how that works.
Who wants to see them?
All right. What are you looking at Smurfette like that for anyway?
It's a Smurffest.
Which of the following statements is true of Katy Perry, who voices Smurfette? Was A, she was not allowed to watch the Smurfs as a child. B, she had never heard of the Smurfs before being approached about voicing Smurfette.
I already know the answer.
Or C, the Smurfs was her favorite cartoon as a child, and she even dressed up like Smurfette for one Halloween.
C.
Dave says C. Greg?
I wanted Eric to go since he knows the answer, yeah. But I'll say the middle one where she didn't know who the Smurfs were.
All right.
Wait, how about, Eric?
I'm going to say A because her parents, her father was a minister.
Oh, and
they probably think that's like devil's work.
Yeah, exactly. Her parents,
because they're blue.
Her parents were highly conservative pastors and didn't consider it to be good for their children.
Oh, poor Katie.
I rock at this game.
Oh, Eric, you're winning 3-0. Oh, you might want to turn Sebastian's mic on. Mic number, what is that?
It is four? On.
Oh, yeah,
it
is? I said A.
Oh, you said
I
A.
I knew it was A.
So
yeah.
That, yeah, they, no. Eric 2, Sebastian yep. 1.
And you
I have
zero.
6-0,
yeah. But I get an automatic 3 because I was honest by saying the actual point, so I take the lead.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
I thought you had 0.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
slow.
Another trivia question. Where are the Smurfs from? Like, which country?
Smurflandia.
Like who the creators? Which country?
Oh, what? Oh, Sweden.
No.
Denmark.
No.
Virginia.
Japan.
Finland. Iceland.
Okay, the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Yes.
Netherlands.
Interesting.
Because you know drugs are legal there, right?
No.
So
Amsterdam.
So they were tripping when they came up with that.
Exactly.
Is that like Amsterdam?
Amsterdam is in the Netherlands.
So what is the song?
Dave went to Amsterdam, but he doesn't remember.
Puff the Magic Dragon. What does that mean?
Which one is that?
Marijuana, wasn't it?
Is that opium?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, opium?
Chase the Dragon. Is that opium?
Chase
I don't know. I know Johnny Depp does a lot of opium in one of his movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
Oh, and the movie Blow.
Leaving Las Vegas. I mean, Fear and Loathing in Las
Fear
Vegas.
Fear and Loathing, yeah.
He did a lot of drugs in that.
Yeah, great movie.
Wow. Smurfs to
From the Netherlands.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so Katy Perry's parents must be proud of her right now.
I don't think this is the worst decision she made. So
she's probably paying their bill right now.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's true.
But really,
well, Eric's the winning Spurs? 3-0. Yes. Eric, we're proud of you.
Did I get the first point?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Oh, did he?
He didn't get the first one.
No, I got the second two.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 2-0?
Yeah, nobody got the first one right.
Oh, 2-0. Eric's winning.
Well, Sebastian also has a point.
You have a point. Yeah. Okay, what's the next one?
Well, we'll do another Smurfs trivia before our next break. But first, before we get to that, let's talk about Two Guns.
Ooh, Two Guns.
Yes, Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington play a DEA agent and an undercover naval intelligence officer who, having been tasked with investigating one another, find that they have been set up by the mob, the very organization that the two men believe they have been stealing money from. Dave, did this look interesting to you?
It did. I saw the trailer, not the movie. I was going to try to see the movie, but I didn't have time. But it did look interesting. I like Denzel Washington. I like Marky Mark. I thought it was, it looked like a relationship where there was some friction between the two of those people. Mm-hmm. And my guess is it came together as the movie developed. That's what I'm guessing, where they had a common purpose above themselves. And I think that's what you put somewhat the theme.
Okay. Well, if it were not for Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington, this movie probably would have been directly released to DVD. This is a very generic movie. It's as generic as the title suggests. I mean, how worse can you get than Two Guns?
Really, the review said smart and intense.
It's not smart at all.
But is it intense?
No, it's not intense either.
And you like the Smurfs, pretty, I'm going to guess. I'm kidding.
What are you being mean for? Yeah, no. All right, so... it's a jumbled mess from the very beginning. Yeah, because right off the bat, I mean, they do this weird framing device where, you know, that we're a couple days into it or something like that, and then we have to rewind and see how we got there, and nobody even cares. And it's very difficult. I found it very difficult to follow any of the action in this movie or retain a firm grasp on who is good, who is bad, who is working for whom, and why we should care enough to even try to keep up with the preposterous plot twists. This is just all over the place. There's a few inspired scenes in the movie, a few inspired action scenes near the end especially, but mostly it's just generic. I mean, if it were not for these two movie stars, they do play well off of each other, but if it weren't for them, the characters would just be bland as well, because, you know, that's the only thing that kind of kept me going is that, you know, I was watching these two guys that I enjoy watching, especially Mark Wahlberg, who's great in, you know, everything he does, whether he's in Pain and Gain or Ted, you know, whether he's playing action or comedy, he's always fun to watch, and he does a little bit of both here. But, you know, I just found it a generic mess. I'm giving it a big thumbs down.
Wow, big thumbs down.
Yeah, big thumbs down.
Question, though.
Yeah?
Is it worth watching when it comes out on Netflix?
Yeah, probably yes. Yes. If you're going to watch it from the comfort of your own home, then I would say...
Well, what's the difference? Are you talking about the cost makes a difference?
No, just because if you're seeing something... Like I said, if it feels like it's direct-to-DVD... I mean, we've all watched our fair share of direct-to-DVD, you know, bad B-movies. Mm-hmm. You know, the sequels to big budget blockbusters, or what do they call them? Mockbusters now? Mm-hmm. And I think there's even one for Pacific Rim, like Atlantic Rim or something, which I would probably... I haven't seen that, but I will just go out on a limb and say, go see that. Rent that instead.
Mogiam Rim.
You can go there if you want.
Isn't that up by Grand Canyon?
I think so.
No, it's like an hour away.
Oh, it is.
It's up by Payson.
Oh, Payson.
Oh, okay. And so, yeah. No, I would say definitely skip it in the theater. See something else. We've seen a lot of other action movies that you can see. Or if you want a buddy cop comedy, go see The Heat still. But as far as Two Guns, don't go see it in the theater at the very least. And the theme here is you fight for the guy fighting next to you, because these two guys, you know, at first they're friends, and then they discover that each of them are kind of working for opposite sides. But then they find out that there's a bigger villain who kind of set them both up. So, you know, even if you don't like the guy who is fighting next to you, you have to fight for each other, right?
I think so. I think fighting for the same cause, and that's what it sounded like in this particular movie, a higher level purpose beyond oneself, and that's evidently what this movie's about. So people usually fight for themselves, yet the most heroic, most selfless thing you can do is stand up and fight for something beyond yourself. Pick your cause carefully, and of course it sounds like bad going after bad, and ultimately it's going to be someone's trying to get the money anyway. It sounds like about greed and ego, yes, and power. So representation of certain politicians.
Well, it's definitely like all the characters in this movie. I don't think there's anyone you could possibly root for. Even the two main guys. I mean, yes, they're trying to do good and they were set up. But I mean, it's like I did not find myself rooting for anybody in this movie. And that's what I have a very hard time with movies like this, where, you know, if there's nobody who represents the good side and everyone's just bad. I mean, it's like smoking aces. Remember that, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Was that a new term for something? Smoking something? Aces.
That's a great movie.
All right. Well, I didn't care for it because I found it very hard.
Let's talk about that. Wait, who was in Smoking Aces?
Ryan Reynolds. Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven. That's the big one there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that about? Is it poker?
It's a bunch of different assassins trying to kill Jeremy Piven, who's a magician who stole money from someone, right?
But they're all bad guys.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
There's all
But
bad
you liked
guys.
It, Sebastian.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, I mean, at least that one was kind of like it had the like a dumb, you know, fun kind of thing to watch. This is not, you know, it tries to be too intelligent. Like Eric said, there's a lot of reviewers out there who say that this movie is intelligent, but I found
they get paid to say things like that.
They probably do. A lot of them do.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I'm sure that they do.
Yeah, I think the movie companies are flowing some cash under the table to them.
I'm sure.
Oh.
Yeah, but you don't find any of that on Breakthrough Entertainment, do you?
No, we're
not
objective.
Bought and paid for, are you, Joseph?
No.
No.
Otherwise, would I be reviewing these movies?
No, we're independent, we're objective, and we speak from the heart and soul.
Yeah. Well, if anyone has a different opinion about Two Guns, because it came out yesterday, what number can they call?
602-252-1480, 602-252-1480.
Or perhaps they've seen the Smurfs too, because after our break we will review and talk about the Smurfs themes.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, let's do another piece of trivia, okay?
And let me just interject.
Yeah.
Eric, 2. Sebastian, 1. Greg and I, 0.
Yes. Even if you added your scores, it would still add up to 0. All right. So which of the following things did George Lopez claim to do to prepare for his role as Grouchy Smurf? A, he took an ice-cold shower, ate a bland breakfast of only healthy foods, and had his ex-wife nag him about their failed relationship. B, woke up at 2 a.m., spent a few hours reading negative news stories, and had his friends delete his unwatched episodes of Downton Abbey from his DVR. Or C, did not drink coffee, made sure that he had bad breath, and picked the busiest time to get to the studio.
C. We all, yeah. So far, all said C. Greg can be the tiebreaker.
Because the cold shower one was from X-Men guy. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Hugh Jackman.
It was. But I want to be a little different. What was B again?
B was he woke up at 2 a.m., spent a few hours reading negative news stories, and had his friends delete his unwatched episodes of Downton Abbey from his DVR.
I don't believe he watches Downton Abbey.
George Lopez, no?
Nah.
That is George Lopez, though. It probably is C, though.
Yeah, yeah. He claimed to do this, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what are you saying?
B.
B?
Say B.
You should have went with the group. It's C.
Oh, not
good. Oh, yeah. Wow.
I made the other two up. And even
figured.
Though the cold shower, yes, was from Wolverine last week.
Yeah.
I'm sure that
Hugh
Jackman didn't eat a bland.
Because I can still win when we do the bonus question.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's worth 5 points.
Yeah. So what's our
Eric
score?
Has 3 points. Sebastian, 2. Dave, 1. Greg, the goose egg.
I thought, what we should do is leave it 3-2-1-0 and make it exciting.
Zero, yeah, well, this will be exciting for the bonus question.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Very good. Well, we still have 2 questions left, so after the break,
if I can
win
by a couple.
Yeah.
You could, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so you want to take a quick break right now, and then when we come back, we will continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. We will review Smurfs 2.
Yes.
And that means there was really a first one. It's hard to believe. Sebastian, you like Smurfs?
I used to watch the show when I was a kid, but I haven't seen movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is 1480 AM KPHX and Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back. And before you know it, started feeling good. You simply got no choice. Song, song, blue.
Do
you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Breakthrough Entertainment brought to you by Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I got too excited on that. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo, and special guest on the entertainment show, Sebastian Norn, hockey amazingness.
Yeah, there's not enough hockey movies.
What's your favorite hockey movie?
Slapshot's my favorite.
Slapshot?
Yeah.
By far?
Well, the Goon's pretty
good.
The Goon was funny,
Slapshot's a classic.
I have to ask, Eric, have you played the A-Full 65 song yet?
No. Who's it by?
A-Full 65. It's the I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da.
I almost added that one to
it. I'm just playing what Joseph gave me.
I almost brought that one, but I was bringing more classics. And don't tell him what the last song is yet, because that's a nice
I want to hear a little bit more from Sebastian. Sing a little bit further. No, that was good. Were you in a band?
No.
Oh, you were, and you just don't want to say it.
There's a lot of blue songs. I mean, there's
what's another one? Blue Bayou.
When the Stars Go Blue.
Blue Moon.
Well, we just played Blue Moon.
That's how I know it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, Blue Bayou. There's also Blue by Leanne Rimes.
Oh, how does that go?
I don't know.
I want to do this thing.
I bet, yeah. There's Blue Sky, which is by the Electric, I don't know, it was the theme song for LAX. It was also the theme song in that Weatherman movie with Nicolas Cage.
Blue Skies by Willie Nelson?
No, no.
Oh, yeah, it could be that.
No.
Blue Christmas?
Yeah.
Blue Eyes Crying?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot
Blue
of them.
Blue Christmas, that's a good song.
Blue Moon? Blue Monday?
Yeah, see, there's a lot to choose.
Wow, you're on a roll.
So don't tell them what the last one is that we're playing, but at the end of the show, but they will be surprised with that one. Probably the best blue song. So here's another trivia, because, of course, we're celebrating the Smurfs, too.
Eric, 3. Sebastian, 2. Dave, 1. Greg, 0.
That will change right now.
Which of the following phrases is often used when describing the height of most Smurfs? A, 3 apples high. B, barely bigger than a bug. Or C, smaller than a squirrel.
Wait, could you say that again?
Which phrase is often used when describing the height of most Smurfs? A, 3 apples high. B, barely bigger than a bug. Or C, smaller than a squirrel.
A, 3 apples high.
I was also going to say A, 3 apples high.
Greg and
For
Eric?
Some reason that sounds reasonable.
Oh! Oh, you could
be different again. Wait, what was B
and
C again?
You are different.
B was barely bigger than a bug, and C was smaller than a squirrel.
C.
3 apples high.
Yes!
French idiom.
See, now I could just win the bonus.
French idiom or French idiot?
Yeah, French. No, we're not calling anyone names. French idiom.
No, we're not calling the French name.
Haute comme trois pommes directly translates to 3 apples high. Contrary to popular belief, it was never a precise scientific measurement. An English equivalent would be knee high to a grasshopper. Huh. It's just like a
grasshopper. David Keith Carradine. Remember in Kung Fu.
Dave's Random Enlightenment.
Yes, that was a good one. Grasshopper.
All right, so let's talk about... Well, there's still a bonus question
left. All right,
left,
so what's let's the score? Summarize the score. Eric, 4. Sebastian, 3. Dave, 2. Greg, 0.
And I think with the bonus question, we have to write down what we...
Well, it's not fair to Sebastian because he wasn't here for
wasn't
the first
here
couple
for the first
questions.
Yeah, but the bonus is worth 4 points,
you're
right?
You're going to have to write it down.
Or is it 5 points, the bonus question?
We'll do the last question is worth 5 points.
5? Oh. Okay.
We'll do 5. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that'll end our show. But first, let's review the Smurfs 2. And remember, I did not like the first one at all. Mm-hmm. I it was terrible, I thought. And a lot of people thought it was terrible. So... Mm. Smurfs 2, Neil Patrick Harris reprises his role as a human that once again teams up with the Smurfs to rescue Smurfette, played by Katy Perry, who has been kidnapped by Gargamel, who is played by Hank Azaria, since she knows a secret spell involving the evil sorcerer's newest creation, the Naughties. So essentially, he wants to create these Naughties and make them into Smurfs, so that way... You know, well, in order to do that, he has to get the Smurf's essence, so he has to get Smurfette to give him the formula. Kind of complicated for a kids' film. But he wants to turn... He wants all these Smurfs so that he can extract their essence, become the most powerful wizard in the world. But he's also already the most powerful wizard in the world because he's in the real... You know, he's like in Paris performing this magic show. And, of course, if he's a real wizard, he can do all these things, like make his cat. I can't remember the cat's name, but Azrael. Azrael. And he makes the cat into, you know, a giant cat. And you can't see that in normal magic shows. So it's kind of a cool thing, different than the first Smurfs, where he's actually interacting in the real world already, because he was stuck here in the last film. So, Smurfs 2, Dave, did you think, did you watch the trailer? Did it look interesting to you?
No.
No, it didn't.
No,
you didn't watch the trailer even.
No,
said,
I was wondering
I
who wrote this. I mean...
Well, we found out who wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
Peo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Peo from Mexico?
No,
Peo, you know, coyote, Peo.
Peyote.
Peyote, that's what, Peo. Yeah,
magical
that one.
Cactus.
Yeah. How come Sebastian knows about that?
It was Eric.
Oh, that was Eric.
Peola. I grew up in the 80s.
Or was it Peola?
Oh, well.
No, peyote. Anyway.
Eric turned
I turned the trailer. I didn't understand what they kidnapped some little Smurfette, and they...
Yeah, they need the Smurf DNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just didn't look like it would hold my attention very long, unless I was on peyote.
Well, I was not looking forward to seeing this movie, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Wow.
It is the only thumbs up for this week, because we reviewed movies on our Thursday show as well, and they were all thumbs down. I was surprised. If you're going to see a new movie, one of the new releases, go see The Smurfs too. Because, you know, the first movie was all pop culture references, product placement, everywhere. I mean, every other word was The Smurfs. They toned that down in this movie. It's more character-based. It's more story-based. You know, it this may seem like it's completely out of the blue.
Blue Moon. That's a beer too, right, Craig? Blue Moon.
Yes, very delicious.
But
yes.
But I really like this. I thought that you know, this is a sequel that will satisfy young viewers and may even win over a few parents in the process by promoting an excellent message about acknowledging, accepting, and reciprocating unconditional love. You know, they really heighten the heart in this movie, as opposed to the first one, where I didn't think that, you know, it was a distinct deficiency of, you know, anything heartfelt. And they added a subplot that stars a duck. Which I thought the duck was
Donald?
Awesome. No, not Donald. It's actually like a real duck, and it looks like a real duck that's
name
talking.
Temu?
What?
Was his name Temu by any chance?
No.
Oh, okay. Howard?
He hasn't signed yet.
Yeah, Howard.
We're going to find that out.
But so I really like the subplot with the duck. I think they should make a whole movie with, you know, with a duck.
With a duck?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. Because it looked like a real duck. I mean, as opposed to the cat, you know, you can see that the cat's fake. This looked like a real duck that was talking and doing all these weird things. And they showcased more of star Hank Azaria's pitch-perfect portrayal of Gargamel. I mean, say what you want about the movie, but Gargamel is the best piece. Part of this.
Like,
you
know, Charlie Day?
No, not like Charlie Day at all. But Hank Azaria, like you said earlier, he does a lot of voices. He's excellent in everything he does, and so he does Gargamel excellently. You know, this is this family film franchise has finally found the blueprint for success.
Nicely
thumbs
done.
Up.
Nice. A big thumbs up or little?
Big thumbs up. Big thumbs up. And
really?
You know, and I know a lot of people are putting this movie down still, even though they haven't even seen it.
No, it's smart and intense.
Okay. But yeah. But you know, everyone else is so like quick to jump on the Minion bandwagon. You know, and I like Despicable Me too. I didn't care for the first one. But you know,
the
Minion
Man Walk, is that what you're talking about? Oh, there's a million Man Walk. Okay.
But what's the difference with, you know, you have a bunch of little yellow people and that's, you know, brilliant.
What's the difference?
Well, I'm saying that's brilliant to have a bunch of little yellow people, but you have a bunch of little blue people.
Who's
and
yellow people?
The minions.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Keep up here.
The minions are awesome.
Oh, you like the minions?
Just weird.
I think they should have a battle, the minions against the Smurfs.
Yeah,
who would win?
Sure.
The minions, because they have weapons.
Oh, they do?
I think so. They're quick little guys. The Smurfs.
But these guys
are,
they're magical.
Yeah,
they're
magical.
They are.
So the theme is, it doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is who you choose to be. Dave.
I agree. It's not the cards you are dealt. It's how you play the hand. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You learn, you grow, evolve, and transform. Change how you think about things. That's the key. Reframe negative to positive and really be consistent with your thoughts, what's most empowering to you. So it brings, you know, build strong values, in other words.
Yeah.
I don't know if what this theme was about that. Upgrade your skill sets. And maybe that's worth seeing. Maybe I should see that if this theme is about that.
It's got a really strong theme, really strong message, backbone to it. Yeah, all about unconditional love. You know, especially if you have a son or a daughter, or if you are, you know, someone who has a step parent. Like, so if someone's not blood related, this would be a great movie to take those kids to, because they'll get a really strong message about unconditional love. And like I said, it doesn't matter that you're adopted or something like that. It matters, you know, who you choose to be and who loves you and all that kind of great stuff.
I'm just still thinking about how someone so hot, Katy Perry, came from such nut jobs. I mean, just unbelievable.
Wow. Sebastian, any comment on that?
I just know she's from Santa Barbara.
Oh, well, that's a good place.
That's a beautiful place.
But
have
her
you
parents,
been there?
Though, other what? Than their...
You been there?
I used to live there.
Oh.
Yeah. Great place. I love the beach over there.
Yep.
So our bonus question, ready?
Okay.
Now,
this is for 5 points. Here it is. Eric, 4 points. Sebastian, 3 points. Dave, 2 points. Greg, 0 points.
Now, I don't know if we should write these down or what.
Minions.
I don't know, think we have any paper here, but...
I think we should.
I don't know.
Mentally write it.
All right. Without going... Oh, put your fingers under the table.
All right. Put your fingers under the table.
All right.
Well, not there, Dave. Come
why
on.
Do I
without,
have 5 set of fingers?
Without going right. over... without going over, how many inches tall
the
are the Smurfs depicted to be?
In the movie? Or in real
just
life?
In, three apples high.
Yeah, in real life. Yeah. Without, in real life, yes. How many inches tall are the Smurfs depicted to be? All right? On the count of three, you hold up your hands.
Oh, inches.
Inches, yes.
Inches.
Inches, not centimeters. One, two, three. Dave says five. Sebastian says four. Greg says six. And you six as well. It is a tie between Greg and
Eric wins.
It's 7.5.
Yes.
7.5. Any larger, they would no longer appear as the lovable creatures that they are known for. And any smaller, it would be difficult for that people to relate to real-world objects.
Yeah, like I can relate to them at 7.5 inches.
And they're fun. Come on. It's a fun movie.
I'm just kidding.
It's a really
good
family film.
I'll probably go see it.
So Eric wins our prize. What's our prize?
The prize. What is our prize, Greg?
I have no idea, but it's a Ron Jeremy look-alike. You should know everything about inches.
Oh, yes. Sebastian, what's our prize?
I know Dave's voice on Eric's answering machine.
There you go.
Really?
Yes. Carl Castle, thank you.
Okay. You have reached Eric. Okay.
Well, we'll have to get...
the great producer
we'll have
for
to get
Breakthrough
Carl Castle
Entertainment.
On the phone and see if he gives us that. But anyway, yeah, so good movie, The Smurfs 2.
Wow,
Go see Two Guns. But plenty of movies to choose from next week. They can tune in on our Thursday show. We'll be talking about Lovelace.
Ooh.
On Thursday?
Amanda Seyfried?
Yeah, we're starring Amanda Seyfried. Mm-hmm. So
you love her.
I do, yes.
She's hot.
She is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, he really loves her, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And we'll also talk about Prince Avalanche. And
that's starring Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. And then
he's good.
We've got Jason Sudeikis and We're the Millers.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
And we've got...
Trailer looks funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Elysium comes out with Matt Damon.
And Delivery Man.
No, that's later.
Yeah, but eventually Delivery Man.
Yes, eventually that
with
comes
Vince
out.
With Vince Vaughn.
Yes, eventually.
He has 533 children.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a lot of good movies out there, you know, still coming out. Let's see what else is Percy Jackson 2.
Yeah, you're going to review that, next Thursday?
Next Saturday, that one will be. And so the Spectacular Now and Blackfish. A lot of movies next weekend, so they're going to want to tune into our
You're
going to
be
show.
Busy, aren't you?
Yes.
How many movies do you see a week?
Probably 10.
Wow. Oh, there it is.
And Dave won't be here next week, so the show would be a lot smoother. A lot
oh, yeah.
Fun.
I'll call in, though.
Best blues
I'll
song.
I'll be here, though.
I'll call in.
Joseph will be here. Sebastian will be here. Eric, I believe, will be here.
Well, you believe me. He has to be.
Happy Smurfmas.
Smurfness. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Real Hockey Talk. Joseph, thank you so much. As always, great job. No question about it. And stay tuned. Real Hockey Talk right up at 12. We'll be right back.
Would be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when the blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.